I'm Lori Mack for WNPR News. The screening process for refugees entering the U.S. involves multi-layered security checks, interviews, and an overseas medical exam. After their arrival, families will undergo another health assessment, usually coordinated by a resettlement agency. It's where their stories begin to unfold to the doctors and physicians in training at a program at Yale University. Mom, dad, and doctor are huddled in a small exam room with soft yellow walls and a teary-eyed 5-year-old boy. Like any child who just got his vaccine shots, he has a sore arm and he's ready to go.
I promise the next visits that you have will be a lot shorter than this.
That's Dr. Camille Brown, the director of Yale's Pediatric Refugee Clinic. The boy is from Afghanistan and arrived in New Haven 10 days ago. He's been given a clean bill of health.
And then all of his other immunizations are up to date, which is great.
Awesome.
His vision's fine, his hearing's passed. We have no mental health concerns about him.
Children are also tested for infectious diseases, things like tuberculosis and parasitic infections. Their growth and dental care are charted, not too uncommon for a child born in America. But his father, Mohammadat Soweri, says it's nothing like what they got in Afghanistan. For one thing, the doctors here ask a lot more questions.
Where he was born and what kind of medication he took and with what kind of people we live, the members of even our family, in case they had some sort of illness that affect our son, the hair, even the eyes, the ear, all a thorough checkup, a thorough medical assessment that we found ourselves so lucky.
These refugee health assessments take time and require cross-cultural medical knowledge. For instance, refugees from Afghanistan often have high levels of lead in their systems. As in many developing countries, cars in Afghanistan run on leaded gasoline. And lead is also used in eyeliner, says Dr. Brown, often applied directly to the mucosal surface of the eye.
Which is made out of strychnine, so they ground the stone, and then because there's so much lead, they have contamination with lead. And so they're putting the eyeliner on for the dark color.
Yeah.
So we see some very high leads coming from Afghanistan.
Vitamin D deficiencies are also common, but not just due to diet. Girls who wear a hijab aren't always exposed to enough sun, and children who live in war zones can't often play outside in the daylight, robbing them of vitamin D, but robbing them of something else, too. Soweri says his son is terrified by the sound of sirens, because back home, that means bombs.
But we try to convince that here you have arrived, there is no explosion, nothing. Those are some police cars that they are going somewhere from one location to other location.
Dr. Brown says it's important to hear these stories in order to get the full picture.
The health of the child is in the context of the whole family, and so we may be asking some hard or some personal stories about what their experiences are, but that helps to give us that cultural context, and then we can start to see the child, the child's health, the child's mental health, the whole well-being.
That's why Brown encourages medical residents who will become the primary doctors for the children to get to know their patients first before talking about health care. But even with trained medical interpreters, cultural and language barriers can be difficult.
I think learning how to deal not just with families with different cultures, but different educational levels, how we were presenting maybe our idea or our word that doesn't have a similar word in their language. We as doctors have to break down our medical jargon into, you know, what do we mean when we're saying this? Even the word as simple as development.
Swati Antala is a third-year resident at the clinic. She says sometimes the patients and their stories stay with you. She remembers a patient from Syria.
It was a 10-year-old boy, and he basically said, I could count the number of happy days I've had on one hand. So that was, like, really sad, but it was really also uplifting to see how excited he was to be here and how much he was looking forward to being here and starting school and making friends.
The clinic stays involved in the families' lives, helping them navigate the healthcare system. Medical residents advocate for the children at school if necessary, and they set up future preventative appointments, a new concept for most refugee families that only saw a doctor if their child was sick. Brown says she's amazed at the resilience of the refugees.
They're here trying to give a new life to their children and have the family and especially the children move beyond the trauma and the terrible situations that they've been exposed to.
Yale's Pediatric Refugee Clinic saw more than 150 children last year from 10 different countries. As for the 5-year-old with the sore arm, he went home from the clinic with an ice pack and a new toy truck. Lori Mack, WNPR News.